Dear listener, welcome to the show.
What show? Viral.
Well, dear listener, we're back with another episode of Viral. Do you know what we're talking about today?
I've heard whispers, rumors.
We're talking about cartoons.
Yes!
I know. You might be like, what? But there's a method to my madness.
I have no doubt. Take us on a journey.
Well, before we do that, let's get into the smells.
Let's get into our nose.
Yeah. So tell me.
Okay.
Tell me about this.
Yankee Candle Corner.
Yankee Candle Corner!
For your nose. So today's scent is called Stargazing.
Ooh,
a celestial odor.
You know how much I love the cosmos.
Doesn't it smell amazing? Okay, let's talk through the notes. Yep. Top note, the initial impression on the nose, lilac,
okay,
mineral air.
Don't know what that means.
And eucalyptus, mineral air. It smells like
minerals.
Air.
And
in the air.
In the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The middle note or the main body, lavender, geranium, and violet.
I do like the smell of
You're
geraniums.
You're turning violet, violet. Movie?
Willy Wonka?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. The base, the final impression, or the lingering essence of stargazing is vanilla sugar.
Yum.
Rose. Petals.
Rose petals.
Inadvertent pause. And sandalwood, which is, I think, the redemptive scent that I'm getting.
It's that earthy undernote. Yes,
spicy, earthy note.
Ooh, yeah.
So stargazing to set the olfactory mood for our journey.
I would also like to point out, no cream in this.
No cream in this, that's right.
Because it's a dark, starry,
churning,
beautiful night.
Clear.
No cream.
Uncreamed. Lactose free.
Our tummies are settled.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We're here.
Thank you for setting the stage for something that is near and dear to my heart.
It's the least I can do.
I mean, both public health. Public health is obviously near and dear to my heart.
Yes.
But I am definitely a product of lots of cartoon watching as a kid. So we've really been talking about and thinking about the things that we love or the things that we're interested in, how it relates back to public health.
Right.
And I know Megan just talked about ice.
Ooh, got me.
But listen.
All in the feels.
As two people from the north, the ice has had a significant impact on
That's
our
exactly
lives.
Right. That's exactly right.
And living in Florida, the lack of ice.
Oh, Lord.
Has had a
the unhingedness of me is due largely to a lack of ice.
So I'm taking it in a little bit of a different direction. I wanted to talk about cartoons, specifically how cartoons have been used as public health messaging, as a way to convey lots of different types of ideas and concepts using visual aids versus words.
Right.
Right? For good or for bad, right? So
fair.
It's also just really an opportunity for me to talk about my favorite cartoons.
Okay.
So
I'm in. Consent.
I'm glad we
cartoons taught me all about consent.
I wish they did.
They did not.
So first of all, we know that cartoons have been a staple of childhood for generations.
Yeah. We used to only get to watch cartoons once a week.
Yes. Saturday mornings,
the
baby.
The Saturday morning cartoons.
With my cereal.
Yep. Yeah. With just cereal that was the color of the rainbow.
Yes.
Just neon loops of sugar.
And it tasted like colors.
It sure did. It tasted like red.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, as I got, for me, as I got older, it was like you got off the bus and you ran home so you could watch your favorite cartoons.
Yep. You knew which one was on right when you got there.
Yep. And I will just say, I'm a huge Sailor Moon fan. I ran to be able to make it so I could watch my favorite Sailor Moon episodes. And that's what really got me into anime. But I watched all different kinds of cartoons. We were a Nickelodeon family.
Oh, okay.
Some Hey Arnold, right? Growing up, we watched Inspector Gadget.
Ooh, that was a good one.
It was a good one.
Really good one.
David the Gnome. I don't know if you remember that.
Never even heard of it.
I was going to say Eureka's Castle, but Eureka's Castle was more puppets than it was cartoons.
Like Fraggle Rock?
Yes. Loved Fraggle Rock. Yeah. Also, Fraggle Rock was kind of scary.
It was. It was dark. Was that Henson? Was that Jim Henson?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely grew up with Sesame Street.
Yes. They're still doing good things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Elmo tried to get people to talk about how they were feeling and the world imploded.
Yeah, and Bert and Ernie have been, like, living their truth right in front of us for decades.
Thank you, Sesame Street.
That's right.
Yes. So we know that their influence, cartoons' influence, extends beyond entertainment. Just as we talked about, there are social implications for even things that are animated and how we relate to them as humans, right? So we're going to talk about the nostalgic connection people have with their favorite childhood cartoons and how these shows can subtly impact health-related outcomes and by using messaging.
Cool.
So cartoons have proven to be an effective tool for health education. And I think about things like Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh.
Right?
So good.
Think about
that little Bill. Oh, remember the little Bill sitting on the, for the rest of my life, that little Bill sitting on the stairs.
I'm just a Bill sitting on Capitol Hill. Yeah, and there were so many other things, right? Like, it wasn't just about government processes, but it talked about, like, grammar and health. Yep. And, you know, all of these things were fun, but also educational. Talked about hygiene. So a lot of times, cartoons can be a really powerful vehicle for disseminating health knowledge, especially for young ones,
right?
We know that parents have a big influence too, but, you know, there's even like more complicated topics, right? We've seen cartoons talk about mental health. We see that now in Sesame Street. They're doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and Eeyore, right, has been clinically depressed for always.
Yeah, yeah.
And still had a wonderful, robust social life when he wanted to.
Exactly. And his friends never chastised him for being depressed.
Yeah.
They just always included him.
Yep, they sure did.
Yeah. So I just think about that kind of messaging for kids is really important because it's just a constant reminder. I mean, there's obviously a lot of things, too, that aren't great. I mean, I think about, like, really old cartoons. I don't know if y'all watched Bugs Bunny or the Flintstones or, like, any of kind of, like, the Looney Tune portfolio of cartoons. But some of it wasn't great. I mean, there was cartoons depicting smoking. There was definitely some, like, racial stereotypes.
Yeah, there was blackface in some of them. Yeah.
Right. So there's been an interesting evolution with cartoons, right? But again, it's not necessarily just about, you know, kind of your after-school special, like, this is how you stand up to bullies. They're also a snapshot of society in that point in time.
Yeah, right? Certainly. Yeah, the cartoons were racist because the people were racist.
Right. Yeah, they're not real.
Racist white people were making cartoons, so you had little bunnies being overtly racist.
Exactly.
That tracks.
So let's talk a little bit about PSAs, public service announcements.
PSAs.
PSAs. Cartoons were not just for laughs. They also can be catalysts for social change. PSAs, in animated form, have tackled issues like smoking, environmental awareness, and substance abuse. I am trying to think of, like, this isn't a cartoon, but I always think about the, like, this is your brain on drugs.
Yeah.
With, like, the egg that's being
cracked.
On
a sidewalk.
Yeah.
On a literal sidewalk, right? Yeah. That was the message.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, what is it? The McGruff dog? It was, like, a police dog.
What is he, tough on crime? Was tough he, like, the crime. Bullshit war on drugs
guy?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
He was a puppet. He was a pawn of the oppressor.
He really was a puppet.
We don't like the McGruff dog.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people like the McGruff dog. You know who I did love? Smokey the Bear.
Oh. Because he made me feel powerful. I could prevent forest fires.
Yeah. But he was also like, kind of like,
where are we going with this?
Bulky.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's kind of a cutie. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not judging.
Listen, there's something about park rangers that feels right. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah. I just think about, like, all of those animated, you know, they really are animated PSAs, but they're also this interesting branding using like an identity.
Sure.
Joe Camel. If you want to talk about the flip side of that, right?
the Smokin' Joe Camel guy.
Yeah.
Camel. He wasn't a guy. It was a camel.
Like a penis.
It did?
If you look at it, it's like kind of
phallic.
I'll
add that to my to-do list tonight.
I mean, that's what got cigarette companies in a lot of trouble because they were like, you guys, like, don't tell me that you're not marketing to kids.
It's a talking camel.
It's a talking cartoon camel whose name is Joe Cool.
Mm. Yeah, you're lying.
What are we doing
here?
You're
lying.
Yeah. And then, you know, fast forward to the master settlement. So.
Oops-a-daisy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with like, oh, we're not marketing to kids even though we had candy flavored cigarettes. Come on, guys.
It's a lie.
What 40-year-old trucker is smoking a bubblegum cigarette?
Mm-mm. No, that's not cool.
And
if
listen, you're
a
if they
man.
Are, cool. That's
yeah.
fine. But
yeah.
also,
gender's a social construct.
You're right.
Let the man eat bubblegum.
So is flavors.
Right.
I'm not saying that 40-year-old trucker doesn't or could want to smoke a bubblegum cigarette.
That's
but
right.
what I'm saying is the probability of him doing it versus a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
You know.
We're not yucking that man's yum. We're just saying
absolutely.
Younger people eat bubblegum more than truckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody should do a dissertation on
I
that.
I think so.
Yeah. So PSAs were really important. We know that they've served as ambassadors for public health campaigns, mm-hmm. delivering crucial messages to broad audiences in various ways. I think the Flintstones even had some, had a couple of PSAs, although the Flintstones also smoked. And they definitely had cigarette advertisements with the Flintstones smoking cigarettes.
I don't remember the Flintstones at all. They did? They smoked?
They did. But this was like when the Flintstones first came out. It wasn't like...
I don't remember them smoking.
Well, you wouldn't because it was an actual cigarette advertisement that was using the Flintstones to market the cigarettes.
Oh, got it. Oh, I see. It wasn't in the cartoon. They were just like the spokes tunes.
Yeah. Yeah. But Looney Tunes definitely smoked.
Well, Looney Tunes. Well, do you remember Animaniacs?
Yes,
I loved
Animaniacs. Oh my
god! But they were doing all kinds of stuff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they were all clearly on heroin.
Yeah.
Mine
is Pinky in the Brain.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, like.
Oh.
Maniacal.
Yes.
Mega villain.
Yeah. Yeah,
with
like
his
a
like simpleton friend.
Yeah. Very Rats of Nim, like,
oh,
comedy.
Oh, The Secret of Nim, right, was it?
Yeah.
The Lee of the Stone.
Yeah.
That cartoon was terrifying also.
Yeah, that was, like, a part of, like, this small kind of series of cartoons where it was, like, these are dark.
Watership Down? Dude, I don't know if you've read, like, Watership Down as an adult.
No.
I reread it probably 5 years ago. That book is not for children. It is about bunnies, but it is also pretty violent and really creepy.
Yeah.
And the cartoon, remember with the little bunnies getting caught in the thing?
I didn't want to watch it because I was too scared.
And like, there was like a fascist bunny general?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I mean,
clearly an allegory.
Clearly.
Anyway.
Yeah. Rats of Nim too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or The Secret
of Nim. Joshua, what was his name? The main rat, the one who died setting them free?
Oh, no,
his
I
widow?
Is I think one. I blocked it all out of my brain. My.
It was such a dreamy cartoon.
It was, but it was scary. It was like, did you watch All Dogs Go to Heaven?
I did watch All Dogs Go to Heaven, and I watched it in the theater, and I remember this because I was sitting next to my father, who is a devout Christian man. It has been a part of his life. I respect that very much about him. But through the entire cartoon, he was leaning over and whispering to me about works righteousness and how only a belief in our Savior will actually get us to heaven. So All Dogs Go to Heaven was a very edgy movie in my family.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I just remember crying a lot during that movie.
I don't remember anything about the actual movie.
I was like, the dogs are all dead. You know, like,
did they all die?
They didn't all die, but some of them did. Charlie.
Oh my!
I just remember that.
Yeah,
I know. It's like,
okay, so cartoons were teaching us things.
Yeah, they were talking
intentionally
about
or not.
Yeah,
like I learned about works righteousness and the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ at that movie.
I learned about death from Land Before Time.
Oh my God. Littlefoot and the fucking star leaf thing and Sarah and Petrie.
Yeah.
No, that rips your heart out.
Oh, yeah.
And this isn't a cartoon. But Atreyu?
Oh, no.
We can't get into cannot get into the never-ending story.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
there so kids are like, point being, like, kids are like impressionable. These things from our youth are seared into our brains. And I do think those of us who were born in that time frame to grow up with those things all remember the collective trauma of all of those traumatic movies.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I didn't need to be dealing with the early death of a parent.
Right.
And
Littlefoot's mom, right? Is that what we're talking about? Yes, Littlefoot's mom? Yes. Yes. Okay.
Also knowing as humans that a comet is coming. A meteor is
you're
coming.
All gonna die anyway. This is all fruitless.
Yeah.
I hope you find your grandparents, but they're gonna burn.
Man.
Sorry I took us there, Liz.
No, that's the whole point.
Well.
Because there's so many things that we learn from cartoons that we think about now as adults. We're like, whoa, that really, it was a space for me to think about a concept that hadn't touched me yet, right, that I could still practice being vulnerable.
Yeah, sobbing. Sobbing.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I could, as a little kid, I could not handle Land Before Time.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So speaking of which, the representation of diverse characters in cartoons plays a role in shaping the perception of health and wellness. And that includes mental health awareness. So we talked about Eeyore, but I think about, you know, other cartoons like, I mean, I keep coming back to Sesame Street, even though Sesame Street, I mean, they do.
It counts. It's cartoonish. Counts.
Yeah,
it's...
yeah. They use puppets, but like, you know, Oscar the Grouch.
Grouchy.
Appropriately but like named. Still respected by his community.
Yeah. He had a perspective and he had a right to say it.
He sure did. Yeah. And that, like, not every, that I also appreciate that it is a reminder to children that not everything has to be happy and joyful. Mm. That sometimes people are sad.
Yeah.
Or sometimes people are dealing with chronic depression.
Yeah.
You know? I'm trying
even, to... Even baddies get saddies.
Even baddies get saddies. That's right. That's right. That's right. I think that there's a lot more cartoons now that are willing to explore that a little bit more deeply. I love some of the cartoons of today. Like, I think about Adventure Time. I think you would love Adventure Time. Because it's really silly, but there's also some really deep stuff.
Sold.
It's existential.
Ooh.
It's very, and, but also it's just very weird. The whole world building makes no sense, but but it doesn't have to.
Yeah.
It's not meant to make sense. But there is some lore, which is kind of fun.
What's it called?
Adventure Time.
Adventure Time.
Adventure Time.
Added.
Yeah.
To the list.
You would love it. It's really great. It's about a boy and his dog.
Oh, dogs.
Yeah. And Jake's a magical dog.
Ooh, magical dogs.
Yeah. It's really sweet. But it does talk about certain things, right? Like dealing with family trauma and relationships. There are queer characters.
Yay!
You know, I think, you know, when I was thinking about doing this episode, and I've said before within the last 20 minutes that I'm a big Sailor Moon fan, you know, one of the things that's amazing about Sailor Moon is that it was the 90s, and even though the characters in the show were queer coded, but it was wild. The two women who were in a relationship were displayed as cousins, which is worse, I think.
Wait, what?
Yes. So there's two Sailor Scouts who are lesbians. They're in a relationship. One is masculine presenting and one is feminine presenting.
Okay.
And
that part I understand.
In the American dubbed version.
Oh, because Sailor Moon's not from America. Okay.
Right. Sailor Moon is Japanese.
Understood. Okay.
So they are cousins in the American version, which is worse in my
mind. Okay, so the Americans were like cishet washing Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
And was like, how might we explain these two women who are in relationship? Yeah. And they were like, make them family.
Yes.
Ha!
Which is
I think not that great. That boardroom really is on track with understanding how people interact with the media.
It's really funny, too, because I remember being in middle school and knowing that they were not cousins and being like, they're girlfriends.
Yeah.
Those are girlfriends.
But, and this is interesting, right? Because it's teaching us stuff one way or another.
Yes.
Right? So, like, you saw that and understood. You were like, But you also understood that they weren't supposed to be.
No.
Right? That, like, right. either.
That's not how I.
Yeah.
That's not how I.
I was like, that sounds pretty hot. Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like. Mm.
Yeah.
And that's, like, age-appropriate hotness.
Yeah. Well, and. So the last season, there's actually trans characters.
In Sailor Moon?
Yes.
That's awesome.
And they wouldn't air the last season because of that.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S. There.
What year is this?
This is probably the late 90s. So, yeah. Yeah, there are scouts that are male who, when they become Sailor Scouts, become female.
Just doesn't seem that bad to me.
Right?
Like, it's a cartoon,
as
guys.
A middle school kid,
yeah,
who bought the manga and read it, and it was just magic,
yeah,
and it was just kind of like, it just was,
yeah, like,
right?
it's cool.
The Sailor Starlights, they're like really cool, you know. And you know, Haruka and Michiru, who were the, you know, lesbian couple, Haruka was very male presenting, and Sailor Moon had a crush on her, even though she thought
what?
That he was a man. I know, they kissed. I know, scandalous.
Whoa, while the other one was in the relationship with the other one? What?
Yeah.
Ooh, so critique on monogamy.
Yes.
Go
right?
on.
Isn't right? Isn't that like, this is why I love Sailor Moon, because there's like a lot of subversiveness.
Yeah.
In a cartoon that is about being a magical girl.
Yeah.
But guess what? Being a magical girl can have multitudes.
Ooh.
Right?
Girls are magical.
You can fight evil by moonlight.
Yes.
You can win love by daylight.
Yes.
And you can be a queer person.
That sounds amazing.
It's awesome.
It's the world I
want to
live in.
They have the best outfits.
Ooh. Cool.
Kind of skimpy, but you know.
I mean.
They do whatever they want.
That's right.
They have magic.
That's
right. So we've talked about how, obviously, they're animated characters that promote healthy eating habits and just healthy habits. I would say that, you know, we've talked about fat stigma in this,
yeah,
in this podcast. I don't think that there is enough cartoons that talk about fat stigma. I think a lot of it is certainly geared towards, you know, promoting being skinny, right? Like, you think
or
about
skinny
how
skinny as a proxy for healthy.
Exactly. I mean, we think about how exaggerated cartoon bodies are for, like, humanoid cartoon,
yeah, sure,
characters. You know, there's not a lot of representation. We've seen a little bit more representation recently with cartoons like Steven Universe. But I would love to see more. We need a lot more diversity of bodies.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's a cartoon. It's like, whatever. But also, it is really important.
But that's a good point, like, because you know far more about cartoons than I do.
Clearly. I'm, like, sitting here realizing, I'm like, wow, I don't know a lot about cartoons.
I feel like it means I'm making weird decisions with my life.
No,
I should be watching cartoons.
It makes me feel like I am.
But, I mean, partly the question is, like, this is, and it used to be the case, I think, that cartoons were geared towards young people.
Yeah.
Now it feels like there are, I mean, like, Family Guy is not, even The Simpsons when we were younger,
yeah,
was a cartoon that had some, was not necessarily for kids, or at,
yeah,
least a lot of the humor might have washed over young people, but, like, adults were like, well, my God, Family Guy is not a cartoon for kids. And there are, you know,
yeah,
Adult Swim is full of cartoons that are,
yeah,
marketed towards,
I mean,
adults.
I think about South Park.
South Park was so good.
I mean, South Park
is so good.
It is, and also South Park was geared towards adults.
Yeah.
It's like one of the first cartoons that I remember being like, yeah, I shouldn't be watching this, you know?
You were like self-regulating, like,
yes,
this is too
my
grown
parents,
up.
I'm going to get in trouble.
Yeah. I'm totally going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But I mean, so when you talk about like cartoons that are geared towards kids or towards young people, I don't know, are people writing them always intentionally with a lesson? Is that part of that style of media, is that this is for youth, everything has a purpose, there is a message, if we're creating a cartoon, this is the type of cartoon we are creating, we're going to have queer characters, we're going to have representation of different types of ably-bodied people, we're going to have races, like, how Right, because there's a difference between PSAs that use cartoons and cartoon series.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's a really good point. I think cartoons now seem like they're a lot more intentional in how in the types of messages that they are putting out there. Like, I think about Looney Tunes, I'm like, I don't know what messages they were trying, you know, besides like weird societal norms and just being silly and outrageous.
Yeah.
And that's not to say there aren't cartoons out there that are doing that. I mean, I think like SpongeBob SquarePants is like, and listen, I love SpongeBob, but SpongeBob is also a great example of a cartoon that is for adults and for kids, but doesn't necessarily always have a message.
Yeah.
It's just funny for both adults and kids, which I think is a hard thing to.
Yeah, it sure is.
To square. So
pants.
To pants.
To square pants.
To square pants. Ooh, wow.
Wow. Walked right into it.
Oh, I did. I sure did. Not even intentionally.
Mm.
So, but I do think now, I also see a lot more indie cartoons, like a lot more cartoons that are just really exploring different concepts of like what is, or I should say like just different universes, different, even just different styles of animation, which is really interesting. There's lots of diversity in the kinds of characters that they have, and also just concepts. And then you've got things like Rick and Morty that's like definitely for adults, but is just, it doesn't necessarily always have like social commentary. It's more so that this like old man is too smart for everybody and he's just going to take a dump on the universe because of it, you know?
Okay.
But then, yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question. And maybe some of the messaging is just like going over my head.
Yeah, I don't know. Partly, I feel like it must be incredibly precarious to write children's content now. Like,
yeah.
I don't, like, you have to be pretty good at threading the needle of being, well, and I don't even know that they do. Like, to me, I'm like, we should make people believe that everyone is equally valuable, including, like, people who are living with disabilities and different, like, and that you are allowed to be gay. But there are, like, clearly that is contentious because there are plenty of people who don't think you should be gay or trans or whatever. So, like, I look again, like, Tom and Jerry. To me, I'm like, the violence in cartoons, because cartoons, in my recollection of them as a young person, were violent.
Yeah.
But it wasn't scary. Like, when I look back at Tom and Jerry, I'm like, their entire shtick was beating the shit out of each other.
Yes.
In perpetuity.
Yeah.
Until the end of time.
No message.
No message. They just beat, there was this just hierarchy of mammals, right? Big to little. And the brawn was inversely proportionate to the brain.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you had this, like, battle of wits and strength.
This is the best thesis statement I've ever heard on Tom and Jerry.
But like, because it feels to me like this quintessential, like, just beat the shit out of each other cartoon that should have made me violent.
Yeah.
Right? Because I also look back and I'm like, I should have been a, like, trauma-informed, violent young person from, like, all the weird shit we were watching, if, in fact, it was teaching me something.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I was, and again, I'm not saying that there's not value in critiquing what we show kids, because clearly when you look at Looney Tunes and the stuff that was, but it's also like, well, okay, and not all of that. There's obviously, I think there's some hyperbole in this also, right? It's like, I didn't actually think that I could pick up a hammer and smack somebody in the head with it because I watched Tom and Jerry.
Well,
and maybe, I don't know, maybe some people did.
Can I tell you a story?
Is it about a hammer?
No, okay, it's about, so when I was really little, I cut my hair on the top of my head because I've been watching Tom and Jerry.
Oh.
And I tried to make, in my mind, this is, you know, 5-year-old Lindsay.
Okay.
I was like, I'm going to make a rope out of my own hair.
A rope?
And I'm going to set a trap for my sister.
Oh.
My mom got home and was like, why do you have a bald spot on the top?
Linz.
And I was like, what are you talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
My mom laughed so hard, but I was like, I knew I was still in trouble.
Yeah. Because you put a patch in your head.
Yeah. I went like this. I just, what?
And moms care deeply about hair when you're a child, right?
Yeah. Like, this is a thing. She's just like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I was watching Tom and Jerry.
I was like, I had this great idea.
Yeah. And she's like, you're not allowed to watch cartoons for a week.
Oh, which was devastating. Yeah, because there was no plan B.
No. And it was a week for a five-year-old is like 5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Until the end of, you're still not watching TV.
No. Yeah, but violence can cause some things for little kids. I mean, luckily it was hair.
Yeah. And I don't know, I mean, like, I'm sure there are, like, researchers who, like, actually know the answers to these questions. I'm just, like, randomly pontificating into the mic. But it does seem like there are a lot of societal factors that go into kids figuring out what's right and wrong and how to not, how to be functional members of society.
It's not just SpongeBob.
Oh.
But you know what?
They're the best memes.
Oh.
SpongeBob and Patrick are the best memes.
Yes, they so are. 100%.
There is not a thing that can happen to me in my life that I don't have a SpongeBob SquarePants meme.
I know so many adults that love to watch SpongeBob still. Like, they'll rewatch episodes.
It's a delight.
Because it's so funny.
It is so funny. And it's so, it's the absurdity of it. That was the coolest part of cartoons. Like, I never thought Tom and Jerry was that interesting. But Animaniacs were, because it was all absurd. Yes. It was the absurdity, the lunacy of it that I was just, like, delighted. Like, Pinky and the Brain, delightful. And also more like smart commentary. Like, their hijinks, their nefarious hijinks were plausible.
Yeah.
Plausible lunacy.
Plausible lunacy. Name of our band.
Right. Ooh, good.
Yeah, right? So the last thing I want to talk a little bit about is that there are fandoms, and these can be vibrant communities that extend beyond the screen.
Mm.
And a lot of times these can be ways for people to come together, to have a shared interest. It can also be a way to bully people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we know humans gonna human. I was just gonna say, we know there's a fine line between, like, oh man, you really like Sailor Moon, and oh yeah, that's not canon. You know, like, people get wild.
Wow.
Yeah. Where it's just like, remember that this is a cartoon, guys.
Yeah.
So I think that there is something about having a shared interest with other people, especially when it touches you in a very personal way, where you can kind of share that, and creating community, even if it's around a cartoon, I think can be really great.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, some of my best friends were also Sailor Moon fans.
Mm.
So we could, like, get together, and oh my God, I had a binder that I had a profile page for every Sailor Scout.
Oh my
That I designed myself on my computer.
Amazing.
And then I had all this beautiful artwork. My parents hated it because I used up all the ink on their printer.
Oh, and those were the days where computer ink was like buying gold. A car.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yes. So,
do you still have this binder?
No.
Don't say no.
You know what I do still have, though? I still have all my drawings.
The drawings?
Because cartoons really inspired me to be an illustrator. That's what I would, like, fold the pages down in my manga, and I would try to redraw Sailor Moon. So I still have
all the drawings. Mm-hmm. You just don't have the physical body. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
My heart about stopped.
I know. Yeah. I look back on it now. I'm like, I thought I was really good, but it's just okay. But it was just such a, like, it, you know, when you're a kid, you have hobbies that it's like you obsess over.
Yes.
Like, every day. It's like, I would come home, I'd watch Sailor Moon, and I'd be like drawing the whole time. And it's like, man, I actually miss those days where it was just, all I wanted to do was be really good at something that I was really passionate about.
Oh my God, this is taking a poignant turn as adults.
But, like, something that wasn't in the service of capitalism. Ooh. It was like, I just wanted to be a better illustrator. I wanted to make a couple little comics.
Mm.
And it had nothing to do with being productive or making money.
Yeah.
And I want to return to that life.
Well.
You know, maybe on the weekends. Yeah. But
we just have to find somebody who will bankroll us.
And it always comes back to capitalism, doesn't it?
Yankee Candle. Support this podcast so you can get...
Right. So...
drawings of Sailor Moon by Lindsay.
Oh, we should put them in the Patreon.
Ooh, okay. Original art. Original art for all of our Patreon members.
So, in closing, I will say I did actually get a book about specifically public health cartoons.
Really?
I did. And
were they terrible? I feel like they would be like a lesson in what to not do.
They're very academic. Like, oh. And so apart, and like not just academic, but they're specifically geared towards adults. When I think of cartoons, I think of like, again, Saturday morning cartoons. You know, you're running home to watch something on the TV. These cartoons were really like, you know, I put this in a brochure and it was sitting in a doctor's office kind of thing. So I was like, I don't know if like, sure, I think that being able to convey a message using images is really important when we talk about.
Yeah, like comics.
People that have multiple languages. Sure. Oh, God, we didn't even talk about comics. Yeah. The impact of comics on public health.
Yep.
There are some really interesting, like, pivotal moments in certain comic books, in, like, well-known comic books that touch on public health messaging, right? Like,
The first queer superhero.
The first queer That's superhero. That's the
whole thing. People love the that. First, I don't know which like, one it was.
You know, yeah. Wonder Woman's evolution instead of being a love interest into being her own person.
A bad bitch.
Or just like, I don't know, you think about the real lives of people, the inclusion of people of color, the inclusion of people with disabilities, right? Yep. I mean, Dr. Xavier, the fact that he was in a wheelchair in the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like, I didn't even think about that. I just thought about how he could just like communicate with people using his brain.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And obviously he was a very complicated character, but sure. You know. So anyway, I got that book and I was like, I want to talk about the cartoons that like I remember and that I know a lot of people remember and think about how that impacted me, you know, as a person, but also as a public health practitioner and how, you know, there are subtle messages in cartoons that can reinforce good or bad behavior, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never forget when they were like, Cookie Monster needs to tone it down on the eating cookies. And now
Someone
I'm like...
Someone shushed Cookie Monster?
Well, there was kind of like this like, Cookie Monster's encouraging kids to eat a lot of sugar.
Oh.
You know, and it's like...
Oh my God, is this a public health fucking obesity epidemic?
Yes, 100%.
Oh, great.
So
sorry.
It's just kind of like...
Sorry we did that.
I'm sorry, but I fucking love cookies.
And also, if you've ever watched him eat, not much sugar is actually getting in
no.
there.
Cookie.
It's mostly
just
making
cookie.
A mess.
Yeah, I was just gonna...
He's encouraging kids to make a mess.
He really needs a vacuum.
Yeah.
I watched that and I'm like, is the person underneath getting like cookies rained on them?
I just he was my guy. Like I liked
yeah.
the count.
Oh,
number one.
Yeah. You're
number
a
two.
You're a math major.
I did yes. I got my math degree because yeah. of the yeah the Transylvanian. Yeah, but
oh
no, the Cookie
God.
Monster was like this guy gets me.
Yeah,
right. Like that is the joy with which I want to interact.
Yeah.
With every sweet thing in my life.
Yeah.
Reckless abandon.
Yes.
And he was so fluffy.
Yes.
How dare they try to put him in a corner?
I know. They're like, he needs to talk more about eating fruits and vegetables. That's not his
that
gig,
is not
okay?
his job.
No.
That man's job is cookies. And I tell you, the minute we see Cookie Monster eating a fucking carrot, we're all in trouble. Know your role. Stay in your lane. That's not his job.
It's not his job.
No, he's moonlighting as a carrot spokesperson at that point, meaning we've undercut the economic
yeah.
model to keep him gainfully employed in something that he loves.
That's right. Cookie Monster should just really focus on his passions.
That's right.
And that's cookies.
He gobbles them up so good.
Yeah. I just really think about that person.
I can't believe somebody... I am shook by this.
It ain't right.
It just ain't right. It ain't right.
They took our cookies and they made them carrots.
All right, so I did get that did have a little get off my lawn and I
Woo!
Apologize.
No,
but,
I loved it.
But for,
I loved it.
For but for Cookie Monster.
Cookie Justice.
Cookie Justice.
That's right.
Sweet boy. Just
another great band
cookies
name.
Cookies at his face. Cookie Justice.
Yeah.
God, we really need a band.
Yeah, we do.
Mm.
Well, on that note.
Well.
If you'd like to fund our future band, Cookie Justice, or what is it, Plausible Lunacy?
That one feels right.
That does. That feels just like a tagline for my family crest. You can support this ridiculous podcast on Patreon.com, and we have a new Ko-fi.
Woo!
Yes, so if you're just kind of like, I just want to give you guys like $5 just every once in a while.
To eat some Fruit Loops.
Or a cookie.
Or a cookie.
Fruit Loops sound great, though.
Right? They taste like cookies. Glue. Fruit Loop cookies?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can also find us at viral-pod.com. We are on every podcatcher you can imagine.
Yep.
And please make sure you like and subscribe. It helps people find us. It also just lets us know that we're doing okay, because sometimes we're just shouting
is
into the void.
Okay?
Yeah, and we don't know. We'd like to hear your thoughts. I would also like to suggest that if you have a topic that you'd like us to talk about, please email us. There is a contact form on our website, or you can email contact@viral-pod.com.
Yep.
And I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Thanks to all of the talented, handsome people who helped make this happen.
Yes.
Michael Conrad.
Woo!
Woo! And those guys at the Kaboom Room.
Tyler and Tofu.
The studio
sweet,
cat.
Sweet babies.
They are.
And I just want to say thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Peace.